This is 2020. Of all the years in all history, God only named one 2020. And everybody knows 2020 means perfect vision, not just vision, but means perfect vision. So this is your year of perfect vision. Maybe you stumbled around, or maybe you've been wandering around, right? And maybe you have been, up and down. But this is your opportunity. You only get one chance at 2020, right? And we're already January, February, March. So we're already good and in 2020. So you need to just lock in. Then the scripture says in Proverbs that without a vision, the people perish. And that word perish doesn't just mean they just die. It means without a vision, people lose restraint. In other words, vision brings a holy restraint. There are things that we might want to do, we don't do. There are things that we might not want to do that we do because we have vision. It's vision that brings us into the good things of God, not process, like when you go to school and you get a job, but vision. And that's how God designed us. And when you lock into vision, all the limits are taken off of your life. And that's what you need. How many would rather have a great vision hit you than just continue the process? I know the process is always continuing, but some of you, it's time to go ahead and get there. You've been in the process for a while. You need to just kind of step into something different. You got to step out of that up and down kind of thing you've been in and step into something new where you're carrying something, carrying a dream, carrying a vision in your life. That's what makes you special, is that you're not limited by finances or by your gender or by your race or by anything, by where you're from, but that you're only limited by the level of the vision that God gives you. And Jesus has a great vision for your life. And I want you to read you a couple of scriptures because I want to give you kind of the essence of when God dreams about you, he's not thinking about something you'll do. He's thinking about someone you are. It's not just what we do. It's who we become. God is more interested in what he does in you than what he does through you. In other words, if God can get it in you, he can get it through you. So don't focus about doing things. Focus on being someone. Don't stick Christianity onto your life, like force it, but be it. Let it be who you are. Let this be the life that you live and really live it. Don't just believe that one day you might live it. Don't live unworthy and feeling unworthy, but live with this understanding that God did it. So just step into it. Just start being it. And when you be it, you're going to start seeing things around you. Look, it is like a high diving board. At some point, you just got to jump off and say, I'm totally in. And don't worry about failing or not failing, but just jump in. Vision, careful people don't come into vision. Vision is a leap of faith where you jump out and say, fail or not, I'm jumping in. And that's how you end up doing things far beyond what you could ever imagine, because that's how God wants you to live. It's a life of faith. Right? And I want you to read this, 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 45. And I'm going to paraphrase part of it. And this is what it says. So is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul or a living being. The last Adam, speaking of Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Say that with me. A giving spirit. Say, Jesus is a life-giving spirit. Now listen, Adam became alive. Now think about it. He became alive. So the Bible says he became a living soul. God breathed in him and he became a living soul. Meaning that he had a body that was alive and he had a personality. But it speaks of Jesus in this way. It said, but the second Adam became a life-giving spirit, not just having a body, not just having a personality, but something spiritual that can give to others. Okay? Keep going. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. In other words, Adam came first, then came Jesus. The first man was of the earth, made from the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. I'll keep reading. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. In other words, we all have a body, just like Adam. We all have a soul. We all have personality, like Adam did. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Okay, I'll explain in a minute. Keep reading. Is that it? Okay, don't keep reading it. Stop right there. This is what the New King James says. It says, the last Adam became a living spirit, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Say, I bear the image of the heavenly man. All right, now I want you to get it with me, get the idea with me, because Adam is just a guy. He's got a body, and he has feelings, he has desires, he has a personality. So this was Adam, and we all have that, right? Don't you have a body? Most of you do. And then you've also got a personality. But then he begins to speak of the second Adam, that he not only had a body and he not only had a personality, he had a spirit, not just a spirit, but a life-giving spirit. And he says this, he indicates that just as though we all have this body and this soul, we're also going to take on this image of Jesus, who was not just a body and a soul, he was a life-giving spirit. Say it with me, I'm a... Say it like you mean, I'm a life-giving spirit. I mean, say it like you mean it one more time. I'm a life-giving spirit. See, you're not just a person that tries to be nice to people, but there's something inside of you that can be imparted to others. There's life inside of you, and you're a giver of that life. Now, you got to see yourself that way rather than, oh, I'm just trying to serve God. I'm trying to do my best. No, no, no. You're a life-giving spirit. You don't just have life. You have so much life, you're giving it away. So tomorrow, you can start all new and say, you know what? I'm a life-giving spirit. Today, I'm giving life. And that's really, I want you to grasp that today. We are to bear the image of the life-giver. I'm a life-giving spirit. Turn in your Bible to John 15, verse 1. Let's read it. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And listen what he says. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, listen. The idea that Christianity is passive, that you come and hear some stuff and you just live your own life. Well, Jesus just took that scripture and just blew all that away. Because he's telling you there are people that bear fruit and there are people that don't. And the only reason Christians don't bear fruit is they don't stay connected. They visit God. They don't live with God. They have a visitation policy, you know, like those people get to see their kids once a month. They visit God on Sundays, but they don't live. They are not this word abide, of course, you know what it means because you abide in a house, right? You live there. For someone to abide means they're living with you. And in the word picture that Jesus gives, there's a vine. And I have never made wine, but I understand in wine country, it's important. This vine can be hundreds of years old. And it's a very valuable thing, the main stalk, the main trunk. And Jesus said, I'm the trunk. And he said, here's how it works. If you stay connected to me, you're going to bear fruit. Don't worry about it. You don't have to even try. No, you don't. You just stay connected. Stay connected, bear fruit. But if you don't stay connected, if you think I'm going to pop in and pop out, I'm going to be one of them things that just kind of pop in and pop out, he said, you're just going to feel guilty all the time. Because the issue is not what you can produce. I got to produce something for God. I need to, wait, hold up. You need to produce something. You need to abide. If you abide, then suddenly, see, the idea is this. Whatever's inside the vine has to get inside of you. Whatever is in the vine, if you stay connected, you know, you can't just 2 seconds be connected, but if you stay connected, whatever's flowing through that vine is going to flow into you. And if it's flowing into you, it's going to bear fruit. So, in other words, you as a branch, as an individual, you can't produce anything. You can't produce life unless you stay connected with life. Are you with me? In other words, there's an issue to please God, to be a disciple of Jesus. It's not about being a worker for Jesus. It's being someone who abides. And because you abide, fruit just comes out. Right? And Jesus doesn't say stuff that's not true. He's trying to tell you, listen, there are people that start off good, but they're not serious. They play. They pop in with God, but they don't want to go all connected. They don't want to get all up in it. They just want to kind of give God his spot. I got a 30-minute Sunday morning spot for God. And Jesus said, your problem is your fruit's going to tell on you because you ain't going to have any. And it's not because you're a bad person. It's just because you in and out. How does it work for you if you go to work 2 days a week and 3 days a week you miss? You get fired. You ain't abiding. Anybody work here? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're the nicest person in the world. They don't show up for work. You got fired. You don't even give yourself a chance to produce anything if you don't stay connected. You flunk out of school if you just go to school 2 days a week. You got to stay in, and then you got to go study when you get home because it's serious. This is serious. And I'm surprised how many people, they're serious about their kids doing sports, serious about their kids being cheerleaders, serious about their kids going to school, getting education. But when it comes to God, they don't care if they read the Bible or not. Oh, it's telling on you. It's going to tell on you one day. See, because either you're going to have fruit or not. And I look, man, I'm so, you know, if it's good to be proud, I'm so proud of my children. When Bray was singing, you know, how can you just, I'm just so proud of Becca and all my kids. I'm so proud of them. But you know, I didn't produce that. I just abide in the vine. I just stayed connected. And as I stayed connected, suddenly those that were connected to me got connected. And they started producing. And how did they do that? Well, I don't know how I did it. I didn't have to do it. I just stayed connected. Right, and I understood what's important is not that they get an education and they make a living. That's silliness. I've seen a lot of people that lost their marriage and made a good living, lost their children, lost their health. I saw someone, a wonderful, wonderful person, he extremely educated, and suddenly they died and they had produced nothing spiritual in their life, and they went into eternity bankrupt, and they had millions in their account here. They're super wealthy and super educated, and now they're dead. In the prime of their life, in their 30s, boom, suddenly, boom, aneurysm, boom, they're dead. They got a huge bank account. Everybody else took that money and spent it, and their life was a waste. Had all kinds of money, all kinds of education, all kinds of posture in the community, but nothing in eternity. So a parent is a foolish parent if you don't get your kids connected to what's spiritual. I'm not, it sounds like I'm screaming at you, but I don't mean it ugly. I mean, I just want you to see it. It's easy to say, well, you know, you don't really need to go to church, but you got to be at school. You don't really need to, you know, be at that youth group, but you need to be at that sports event. Well, you're just talking, you're telling them what's important. And you're saying, look, you got to get connected. You got to be vitally, not just connected, but, you know, that branch is vitally connected. It's a life source for that branch. You got to teach them that I got to stay connected. I don't want to be connected to religion. I want to be connected to Jesus. I don't want to be connected to a youth group. I want to be connected to Jesus. Because that's where my purpose, like Bray was saying, my destiny is coming out of this connection with Jesus. It's not in my sermon, but I'm preaching it anyway. But I just want to tell you, I mean, I sound like I'm getting on to you, but I just want to tell you how proud I am of you. What an awesome week we had last week, right? Man, it was so awesome. First of all, it was jazz music, which was super cool. I just felt good about myself in church when the saxophone was playing. But the jambalaya, the everything, it's because what I liked most is all these people that came in that are not normally in church that was like, this is my place. They're like, this could be my, yeah, man, this is your house. This is God's house. Get something to eat. We had tables in here, food everywhere. I'm getting hungry right now. But all that was great, you know, and all the people that got touched and gave their life to Christ. But to me, what meant the most was that you all participated. Yeah. That you know, I don't know what you did, but I know that we had 600 names. I didn't come up with those names. You did. Out of this group of people, we had 600 names. That's like almost everybody had three people that they prayed for. They wrote down that name, and we prayed for 30 days, three times a day. I know some of you might have forgotten all that, but listen, we did it. The names are still out there. Look, most Christians never do stuff like this because they think receiving life is the whole thing. No, you're a life what? You're a life giver. And look, it's the giving. That's where the fruit comes. That's where the joy comes from when you start giving life. I mean, it could have been one of the worst Sundays ever. You know, it was a Mardi Gras Sunday. It could have been one of the lowest attendance of the year, but it was a huge Sunday. Why? Because you said, you know what? Let's just do something for God. Let's, out of all the good that's inside of us, let's get something through us. Let's invite people. And it was, to me, and seeing all those people, hugging on all those people that you brought was beautiful. And really, last week, we had invited, I guess, 600 people, and 125, 150 of those people actually came. So here's my question. What do you do now? You quit? Well, that means 450 people that we were praying for didn't come this time. And some of you were out of town, which, you know, that's life. That's the way life works. But guess what? It's not over. How many of you know that we have a holiday called Easter coming up? Oh, we're going to do, if you think that party, we're going to do the craziest party ever. The party that we're going to do for Resurrection Day, it's going to be off the chain. If you thought that was a party, this party, we're going to have 500 people at this party. It's going to be Holy Spirit pandemonium. God's going to be doing stuff, miracles, kids getting saved. It's going to be crazy. You know why? We are life givers. We don't just come to take something from God. We come to receive something so that we can give something back to God. Woo! Man, this is not my sermon, but I'm totally in. Now, I want you to give you, let me just give you three things because I need to finish. Let me give you three simple steps to becoming a life giver. And the first one, I just want you to get it because this is so real. You just kind of want it, you know? This is not one of the steps, but I just preface that by saying, you got to, you know, I want to be a disciple of Jesus that glorifies Jesus. I can't do it with a song. I got to do it with fruit. I got to produce something. I don't have to, but when I'm hooked up, I just start producing. I want to stay hooked up with Jesus because I don't want to be dead weight on the vine of God my whole life. I don't want to be someone just sucking the life out of it, of God, and then I don't produce anything. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be on spiritual welfare. I mean, what God pours into me, I want to bring something back. That's what happens when you abide in Him. You can't be religious. You can't just say, well, so what? God just keeps giving to me. I don't do anything. I can't live with that. If the more that gets poured into me, I want to bring something. So let me just give you these three things, and I won't get to them all, but I'll give you, get to at least one of them. Love God and carry Zoe. Love God and carry Zoe. Now, that's a little cryptic, so I'll explain it to you. Look at 1 John. 1 John 5, verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son does not have life. Now, in your Bible, if you underline where it says life both times, that is the Greek word Zoe. Zoe. Everybody say Zoe. It's a cool name, too. If you want to name one of your kids Zoe, it's a cool name. Brandon Michaela got a Zoe coming. Perfect. Perfect. I planned that, kind of. Zoe. Well, Zoe means life. And let me give you another version of it. He who has the Son has Zoe. He who has not the Son does not have Zoe. That's what the Greek says. John 6:53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, how many know that's being connected, you have no Zoe in you. Everybody say Zoe. You have no Zoe. He says you have no life unless you're eating, you're feeding on the Son of God, the blood and the bread, the word of God and the presence of God. You're going to have a life, but you're not going to have a Zoe life. You're going to have awareness. You're going to be alive, but you're not going to have Zoe. And what you want is Zoe. 1 John 1:4 says, in him, Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was, what is that word again? Zoe. In him was what? In him was Zoe. And the Zoe was the light of men. In other words, you can't light up the world by just being a good person or trying, you know, helping with the United Way or trying to be a good guy, because people need more than to be involved in their community. People need Zoe. They don't know they need it, but they need it. They need Zoe. Now, there are three Greek words for life, and I want you to see them because this kind of helps us understand it. Three Greek words for life. The first, you're going to hear it and you're going to know exactly what it means. The first Greek word for life is bios. Well, everybody knows what that is, right? Biology, right? The first Greek word for life is biology. So you can be physically alive and spiritually dead. You can have physical life. I had physical life for years, but I was totally out of touch with God, right? I was not connected. I was not activated. I was alive. And I just did what my body wanted to eat. My body wanted to party. My body wanted to do things. And I just did what my body, my biology ruled my life. It was all about feeling good for me. And that's how people are. Until they have Zoe, it's all about feeling good. It's all about how you feel. Second word in the Greek for life is psyche. Well, you know what that means. It has to do with psychology, right? It has to do with the sense of being animated and being aware, right? A Greek word, when you say life, it means like you, when someone comes to life and they're awake and they begin to check out their circumstances. My little baby on the front row, that girl, she goes into a room and she's just checking out everything. She got it from Donovan, I think. This idea of being aware and being conscious, that's what psyche is. It means the psychology of being a thinking and a feeling being. And before I knew Christ, I was always thinking. I was using my imagination. I was always learning. But I didn't have any Zoe. I had life. I was alive. I was in class. I understood, you know, I was, you know, girls, and I understood math, and I understood cars, and I was aware, and I was alive. I was experiencing the world. I knew I was more than just an animal. I had biology and I had psychology. So I was aware. But the third word in the Greek for life is Zoe. It means original life. God life. God life in you. The Bible says Jesus was that light that lighted every man that came into the world. Everybody has a little flicker of God life in them. And it makes us, when we get around Zoe, we're like, I want that. Have you ever been like to an encounter for like a weekend and you come back and like, whoo, I want to talk to people? You're like, because you got Zoe all over you. You're just like over Zoe. You're just like Zoe-fied, right? I mean, you're just like, you feel like this is the real me. Then the enemy lies to you and say, no, man, you got to go to regular life, you know, where you see and you feel and you just live your regular life and get you a little Zoe on Sunday morning. How many know a little Zoe on Sunday morning won't get it done? Right? You won't even make it out the parking lot with the Zoe, Sunday morning Zoe. You got to stay connected to Zoe. And the enemy will tell you it's not real if it's not there all the time. Oh, it's not there all the time, but it's real. You got to purposely stay connected. I got to get Zoe in my life. I got to be connected to that thing that makes me know that God is. That thing that lets me know how awesome he is. The thing that makes me want to worship, that makes me want to dance, that makes me want to live for a cause greater than myself, that wants me to live for eternity and wants me to do my life in the view of eternity. This thing that's completely invisible until you light up. And look, Zoe's pretty fragile. You know, you can have Zoe, one TV show, all Zoe gone. One wrong thought, Zoe gone, Zoe nullified. You got to stay connected to it. Jesus said, unless you continually eat and continually drink of the Son of Man, you have no Zoe in you. Your problem, you can't give what you don't have. You got to stay connected to Zoe. It's God life. It's the best you. It's the you you really like. It's the other you is depressed. The other you is critical. The other you is negative. The other you feels lonely because you're far from your Zoe. Oh, it's real. You got to, God created it so that you'd hunger for it and you'd want to stay connected to it. And all of us have times, you know. I mean, this morning I came to church and I was like, you know, Zoe-fied. I was feeling life. I want to pray for people. I want to encourage people because it's God in me. When you don't have God in you, it's all about you. You want to see what people can give you, how people can make you feel, and what people can do for you. Outside of Zoe, it's all about what you can get from folks. But you get Zoe, suddenly you say, what can I give to you? Because I'm full of Zoe. I just want to do a Zoe thing. It's a force. It's the God force that's activated inside of you. So I'm in my room there, and I'm getting ready to, I'm wanting to think, I'm going to play some music today, and you know, I'm getting ready, and they're practicing. I'm thinking, I want to play something. I'm feeling Zoe. I want to sing some Zoe today. So I reached in my it's a mail bag, but it looks like a purse, but it's really M-A-L-E, a mail bag. So I reached in there to get my headphones, my inner monitors, because I like to play, you know, with them in my ears, and they were gone. And suddenly I felt Zoe going out of me. Because one thing I don't like is people messing with my stuff. Come on, somebody. Like your charging card, when someone just felt like God led them to use yours and bring it to their room and then put it in their car. I call it stealing, but they felt God wanted them to use your charging element. So I have enough kids around me where I'm super sensitive about y'all stealing my stuff. Because I'm tired of being like, your phone's all charged up and mine's like dead. I'm trying to, people are in the hospital dying, and I'm like, you're playing games and you're all hooked up. I mean, my stuff is important, so I get funny about my stuff. So I have a conviction about having my stuff. And so I reached in the thing to get my stuff, and my headphones, my in-ear monitors, gone. Sinking, terrible feeling, like losing your wallet. And then I felt the Zoe leaving me quickly. And I was like, I don't even want to be at church today. Someone took one of my grandkids. I started accusing my grandkids. You ever do that? Started accusing my grandkids, those crazy grandkids. I could just picture them stealing my headphones. Like, how dare them? I started coming up with plans, and I started going dark. The Zoe started going out of me. Then pretty soon, I tried to calm myself. I was reading, and then I switched over to Facebook, and I saw something aggravating on Facebook. Have you ever done that? Having a good day? Then you have a Zoe drain. You click into Facebook and it's like Zoe drain. You got 20 minutes trying to get Zoe back. Then you're like, I don't even want Zoe. I just want to hate that person. So it's fragile, right? Right. And so, you know, and thank God Bray took my headphones without asking. Actually, I told him he could use them, and then he said no, but then he took them anyway. So when I saw those headphones on Bray's neck, I said, Zoe's coming back to my life. It really is. I mean, you know what I mean. This thing, this Zoe presence of God, it comes from the presence of God, but you got to guard that. It's full of joy. It's full of life. It's something wonderful. It's something precious, and life is trying to steal it from you. And life is trying to tell you, go here, go there, think about this, think about that, go dark, But Jesus said, stay connected with me, because when you're in the vine, Zoe is in the vine, and Zoe is flowing into that vine and into that branch. Are you with me? Abiding and living constantly connected. To give Zoe, you must be overflowing with Zoe. So the first point, you want to change the world? You want to bear fruit? Love God. And stay full of Zoe. Stay full of the life of God. You're going to change the world. Don't play church. Don't fake it. And don't, you know, go through the motions. But look, get connected to God's word. Get connected to God's presence. Because when you do, you're the real you. The excuse-making, do-your-own-thing you. That person ain't worth having around. You don't even like them. Come on, somebody. You don't even like yourself when you're like that. You only like yourself when you're that Zoe you. Look at somebody say, I love you when that Zoe's flowing. Next time your wife talks about the dishes not being clean, say, honey, you're about to lose your Zoe now. Stay connected. When you are connected, whatever's in the vine is flowing in you. Now listen to me real quick, because I got to take a couple minutes and we're going to pray. I want the band to come up and sing that song again, because listen, nothing but the blood of Jesus is going to restore your Zoe today, right? And don't let anybody steal your Zoe, right? And we're going to worship God. You know, bearing fruit and influencing people is all about the level of Zoe in your life, not if you're smart or you're white or you're young or you're black. Influencing people is Zoe in your life. It is. All right, Jamal's coming up. Jamal, stand right there. We're going to reenact. All right, I was in Baton Rouge, and of course, as you can see, I'm a workout nut. I'm a legend in my own mind. So, of course, but I wanted to bear fruit. I'm there in Baton Rouge. I'm there to, I don't know anybody. Nobody knows who Bray is in Baton Rouge. I'm just Bray. But I'm not just Bray. I'm Bray with Zoe. And so I think me and God, you know, we're something special. We're the special sauce. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody you're the special sauce when you got Zoe. You're the special sauce at the party. I mean, you're the one that makes everything colorful. When you got Zoe, you don't start complaining with everybody. You lift everybody up. Everything starts changing. It's true. It is true, and you got to have that moment where it's God and me, man. We're going to change the environment. So I'm working out. And I'm thinking God's going to have I don't normally work out, but I said I'm doing it because I got to meet people. I didn't know anybody, so I thought I'm going to meet somebody at the gym. And I'm lifting weights, probably 500 pounds, something like that. I lied in church. It wasn't 500. It was something like that, though. It was something. And of course, Jamal is there. He's an instructor. You know, he's there running the joint, and I'm working out, and I looked up he's walking down the aisle like that, and I get off my thing, and it was like a Zoe connection. It was like this. And from that moment, the Zoe in him connected to the Zoe in me, and I thought, I know that guy. And I didn't know him from Adam, but I knew that there was something that he was kind of just moved down and hadn't connected to a church yet, and you know, and now he's connected almost to a wife. Now, come on, somebody. Hey, if you hook up with God, you know, some good things could happen. But you know, it was true, wasn't it? When the first time you saw me, what happened?
We hugged.
We did, and it was like I knew him forever. Because, you know, that people think it's hard to win people, influence. I don't know anybody. Stop talking yourself. Get some Zoe. Zoe will trump everything. It'll trump your fear. It'll trump your worry. Oh, people don't like me. Trump, trump, trump. This Zoe inside of you will take everything out of the way, and suddenly you'll be the you really like. And you'll start realizing that, hey, when I got Zoe, I'm really somebody. It's God life in me. And so from that moment on, when I met, I said, what's your name? He said, Jamal. And I said, Jamal, hey, look, I have a group in my house. You ought to come. He said, look. And he started telling me, he said, man, some other people were inviting me, but I feel like I'm supposed to go to your group. And that was 3 years or something ago, wasn't it? All right, get ready to sing. Next week, we'll do the whole thing. We're going to react the whole deal, reenact it. Don't make it hard. You know how quick it is when you connected with God, you become that you, that Zoe you, when you stay connected. So here's our moment in 2020. It is our moment to connect with people. Love God and carry Zoe. Say it with me. Love God and carry Zoe. Let me just give you Romans 8, and I'll stop here. Romans 8, 1, I'm reading the Passion Bible. It says, so now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Right now, today, you're going to get rid of all the guilt and all the shame and all the condemnation and all the I'm not good enough or I haven't done good enough or I did this wrong thing and I wish I hadn't. How about everybody say, case closed. Say it louder. Say, case closed. Say the blood of Jesus. Close the case. There is no case. There is no condemnation. I was born to be a life giver. This is my year. This is my moment. I'm not just receiving life. I'm going to give life. Come on, prophesy. Say, I'm a life giver. You know, someone said, I complained because I had no shoes. Then I met a man who had no feet. When you have Zoe in you, suddenly you begin to notice what other people need, not what other people can give to you. And you have this God urgency to do something for them. This week, you're going to walk like a life giver. You're going to think right now, all that guilt, the enemy trying to throw shame and you're not smart enough and you're not spiritual enough. None of that creates life. Smart doesn't create life. You know, the only thing that creates life is Zoe, and he's an opportunity Jesus, an equal opportunity Jesus. And when you get in his presence, you got some Zoe inside. Come on, stand up with me. Put your hand over your belly right now. We're going to activate Zoe inside of you. The life of God. While I was speaking, I wasn't just hollering. I was releasing. I'm releasing. Zoe. Come on. Put your hand on your belly. And say, I have Zoe in me. It's better than my personality. It's better than the way I feel. It's bigger than all my limits. Stronger than all my failures. Overcomes all my weaknesses. I've got Zoe in me. It's not my life. It's God's life inside of me. It fills me with peace. Fills me with joy. Fills me with love. Fills me with faithfulness. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But I have it. I'm connected to it. It's not mine. It's his. And it flows into me. Come on, put your hand in your belly and say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The exact same Spirit. Not one like it. But the very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. I have resurrection power. Even if I fall down, I get back up. Even if the enemy knocks me down, I get back up. I have Zoe life in me. I'm more than I appear to be. I've got Zoe, his life, flowing into me. I'm a life giver because life lives in me. My past has no claim on my present. My failures have no claim on my future. My weaknesses are not my identity. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. And I declare in agreement with his word I'm more than an ordinary man. I'm a life giver. I've got the man from heaven. I've got Zoe life inside of me because I receive it. I'm connected to it. Right now, with your hands lifted, you're just going to connect to the vine. Now let go of all that crazy guilt, shame, rejection, fear, worry. Get out of here. Let those voices, God's blood, the blood of Jesus, speaks of better things. It speaks of better things. It doesn't say, oh, you're struggling, maybe you'll make it. No, it says you conquered in Christ. You're a champion in Jesus. You're a life giver. You don't just have enough life. You have enough for you and enough to give away.